Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Psalm 50. The Reverend Dr. Mark Wood is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading this morning is Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before Him is a devouring fire, around Him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His peoples. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare the righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Monday, when I was asked to fill in because Chaplain Enzer was not feeling well, not sure he could be here on Wednesday, I said, sure. And I said, oh, the text is Psalm 50. I said, oh, no problem. And then I read Psalm 50. It's like Psalms are always challenging. As we try to understand the context in which they were first written, what God was saying to his people of old, and what he's speaking to us today. And yet over the past few days, as I was reflecting on Psalm 50, I suddenly heard Psalm 50 in many of the voices that are speaking today. I mean, it's no surprise to any of us that we're in the midst of an election cycle, an odd one at that. The convention for the Democrat National Convention was, what, last week, virtually? And this week, it's the Republican National Convention, virtually. And of course, anytime politicians gather and share their message, well, let's just say, in a word, it's interesting. And I started to listen very carefully to the discussion as it surrounded religion. Both parties, of course, want the votes of people of faith. They want your vote, and they understand that they must appeal to you. And I hear in Psalm 50, God speaking to those who are appealing to us. Starts in verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? And haven't we heard that? People in public office, People in public office who are making use of religion to try to appeal to people. A presidential candidate who is being touted as a devout Roman Catholic while at the same time promoting this myth, this fantasy of a constitutional right to abortion, even killing children up until the very moment they're viable outside of the womb, even now after their birth. A man who says he's devoutly Roman Catholic, yet has been refused the Holy Sacrament because of his public positions. And a vice presidential candidate who Religious News Services is touting now as the new face of American religion. You say, well, what does that look like? And this is not a discussion of her ethnicity or her race, but rather of her religious views. Having been raised by parents, one whom was Anglican and one who was Hindu, she's embodying this wonderful American idea that somehow or another it's all really the same. That, you know, we're all working towards the same end. We are just taking different paths to get there. And yet this new face of American religion is noted especially for her vicious attacks on a Supreme Court nominee because he was Roman Catholic. What a maddening irony that we have a presidential candidate who is touting his devout Roman Catholicism and his own understanding of it, and a running mate who is on the record for attacking such devout Roman Catholicism. And yet it's not just one party who has proven out this question of God, this critique of God. Who are you? What right do you have to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? Both parties have their share of that. Our current president surrounds himself with celebrity pastors who don't speak the gospel, who don't teach God's word faithfully, but rather have embraced and promote the prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. Yeah, the religious landscape in America is a mess. And it's easy for us to look through Psalm 50 and start pointing out to other people what God has to say. Because God is not silent. If there's nothing else we can take away from the psalm, it's knowing that God is not silent. It even starts out, the Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. Yes, He does speak to our current situation, our current political situation, and those who would have our votes. He does chastise them for, as he puts it, casting my words behind you, using God's word as a pretext, trying to deceive us into thinking that they believe what we believe. But God isn't just speaking to other people. In Psalm 50, he's speaking to his church. And especially, we can see how he's speaking to his church in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. What we hear over and over again from churches, from leaders, from experts about the church, is the church is in bad shape. This pandemic has really crippled the church. Things are bad, and what are we going to do? And how are we going to fix it? And what we hear from God in Psalm 50 today is basically, I don't need anything from you. See, our churches may be empty because government officials have banned us from meeting, but God doesn't need us in His sanctuaries. The church may be struggling because of financial contributions have dropped off as people are reeling from the impacts of this pandemic, but God is reminding us He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything. He says, if I were hungry, would I tell you? I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. Somehow we've kind of got this backwards, that the church is here to supply God's needs rather than the church is the means through which God meets our needs. And it's true, we can't meet in our sanctuaries in many instances. And it's true that the money that we count on for carrying out ministry seems to be in short supply these days. But God doesn't need anything from us, and He is fully capable of supplying all of our needs. And He says so right here. He's saying, I know your needs. I know your needs, and I've given you all that you do need. He has fully supplied everything that we need to do the work that He's given us to do. We, His church, do not suffer from any lack. Perhaps what we suffer from is forgetting why we're here in the first place. See, there's a reason the church is in this broken world. This world that's ravaged by a pandemic, by violent protests, which are really riots, and things that are, escalating or devolving, whatever word you care to choose, into outright murder, killing of one another in Kenosha, Wisconsin yesterday. And we're afraid that these may very well be the beginnings of birth pangs in our nation as we're torn apart. But we're not in this broken world as a church to fix that, whether it's systemic racism or economic inequalities or the wrong party being elected to public office. We're here for a much larger task, a greater task. And when we forget why we're here, or forget why this broken world so desperately needs us, we're likely to come up with a lack of supply. We're likely to come up with a need to try to give something to God rather than be His church. And now more than ever, brothers and sisters, the world needs the church. The world needs us. And God has reminded us in Psalm 50 that we are here as part of His supply. We are here to do His work. We are here to ease the suffering of those who are victims of everything from systemic racism to human trafficking, not with a band-aid, a salve, but with true healing. That's what God is saying to His church. What is He saying to you in Psalm 50? What does God's word have to say about your life in the midst of all this? Well, He wants to remind you in the midst of confusion and suffering and hardship and loss that we have hope. See, there is one and only one who has kept the covenant made by sacrifices, who has made an offering in perfect righteousness, who has ordered His way rightly. Of course, this one is Jesus, and only Jesus. He is the, in the words of the psalm, the perfection of beauty. The heavens declare His righteousness, and He shows forth the salvation of God. God wants you to remember, He wants you to hear today that He is not silent. He is not distant. He's not disconnected. He knows your needs, and He graciously supplies them. He knows the challenges you face, the things that trouble your heart, the concern you have over the state of things in our nation, the desire you have to bring hope and healing to those who are hurting, indeed, even perishing. He says, call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You have that promise. Whatever the trouble in this broken world, He is able, and He is willing, and He has promised to deliver you. I will deliver you. Indeed, He already has, hasn't He? He's brought you through the waters of holy baptism adopted you into his royal family. He's given you a place, an honored place, at his table, where he feeds you not on the blood of goats, for the blood of goats has given way to the blood of the Lamb. It's by his word, it's through his word, that you are declared righteous. Yes, Psalm 50 is still speaking to God's people, speaking to us in the midst of a world gone crazy, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of riots, in the midst of great losses. God reminds us, the God who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and knows every bird of the hill, that you are deeply, dearly loved, of greater value in all those things, so valuable, so loved, that he's given you his very Son. He's given you his word, and God is still speaking. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Krista Young, who serves the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.